Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:50 p.m. on Wednesday, March 11, 2026. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Doug Bridges from the Juno LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Tilton, Senator Stevens, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first item is Senate Bill 237, Data Sharing Social Security, sponsored by the Senate State Affairs Committee by request. This is the first hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Here to present the bill is Senator Kawasaki, Chair of the Senate State Affairs Committee, and his staff, Jenna Calhoun. Senator Kawasaki and Ms. Calhoun, please come forward, put yourselves on the record, and you may begin your presentation. And I note Senator Tobin joined us at 1:51. You were all late, so you're in great shape and have good company.
All right. Good afternoon, Senate Judiciary Committee members. I appreciate the opportunity to bring Senate Bill 237 to the Judiciary Committee. For the record, Scott Kawasaki, Senate District P, Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and Badger Road. And Senate Bill 237 would make changes to Alaska statute to allow Alaskans to apply online for a lost Social Security card. The state did used to offer Social Security cards online, but recently had a change because of the potential that they might have been violating state law. So anyways, this bill is a cleanup bill, and I think that's all I'll have to say about it, and I'll leave the rest to my staff, Jenna Calhoun.
Hello. For the record, Jenna Calhoun, staff to Senator Kawasaki. I do have a presentation, if that would be all right with the committee.
Please.
Wonderful. I don't know if you guys are able to see it on y'all's screen.
Yes, right. We are now.
Beautiful. So SB 237, an act related to...
The key is that you have your committee staff come down, and as they're walking, it all starts working.
That totally makes sense. Thank you, Chair. So SB 237, an act relating to data sharing by the Department of Administration for driver's license data verification purposes and providing for an effective date. What this bill does is it amends AS 28.05.068 to allow the Department of Administration to share data with the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators. It also amends AS 28.05.068B to allow the Department of Administration to convey, distribute, or communicate data to a private entity to carry out the provisions of AS 28.15.151, which deals with the sharing of the individual's abstract of their driving record. And this abstract includes their full legal name, their date of birth, the driver's license number, as well as their address and the state of issue for that driver's license. And it further amends AS 28.15.151 by adding subsection G to protect Alaskans' data by ensuring that this is only shared with a nonprofit organization, governmental, or a tribal entity. Senator Kawasaki wanted to doubly make sure that Alaskans' private information weren't going to private entities. And why do we have a need for SB 237? Well, again, it's so we are able to bring Alaska into the future and allow our citizens to apply for a lost Social Security card online. Right now, our state is the only state that does not allow for this process. And each year, over 15,000 Alaskans are in need of replacement Social Security cards. And at this point in time, one must travel to either Anchorage, Fairbanks, or Juneau to get this process adjudicated. They would have to go to the Social Security Administration office and bring their documents to those offices. And another way that they could do it is also by mailing the originals of those documents. And that can be a stressful process since they don't know where their birth certificate is in the mail. Right now, this costs individual Alaskans, especially those in the rural of Alaska, time, money, and stress. So what SB 237 is, it modernizes the Social Security card process and it eliminates unneeded travel time for our rural citizen. And it also eliminates, again, if they are mailing in their documents, the unnecessary worry that these identification documents will get lost in the mail. Thank you so much for y'all's time. And if y'all have any questions, we would love to take them now.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for that overview. I do have a question on Section 3. If you could just provide an example of what type of organization might be engaging in this process to facilitate the sharing of this information.
Through the chair, Jenna Calhoun, for the record, the main organization that that facilitates this process is the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators. They have several different tools that North American governments use in the execution of driver license verification.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. And I mean specifically on line 7, where it says nonprofit organization, government, or tribal entity. Can you provide some just insight about what type of nonprofit, what type of government or tribal entity?
Through the chair, Jenna Calhoun, for the record, we put in that language, from my understanding, as an overview of any of just all of the non-private organizations, and just in case we wanted to prevent another instance where restrictive language would prevent Alaskans from being able to verify their identity if they're working with a public kind of organization. So it's kind of like an umbrella statement.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It might be helpful just to have an idea of, or if we could name an organization. I'm just curious who would have access to our private driver's license or information, and then how would they go about providing that to the Social Security Administration. I don't know if there's nonprofit DMV type organizations or any entity of that nature.
So through the chair, Senator Scott Kawasaki, I'll say that Section G of the bill, Section 3, I'm sorry, of the bill was added at the request of another legislator who wanted to make sure that it wasn't sent to private organizations or wasn't something that the state would therefore be able to sell to other organizations. We wanted to make sure that it stayed within the jurisdiction of governments or those organizations affiliated with government, like the American Association of Motor Vehicle Associations.
I have a quick question, and I go back to Senator Tobin. Is the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators what we commonly know as AAA, or is that somebody else?
Through the chair, I think that might be something somebody else.
Okay. Senator Tobin, I didn't mean to get in the midst, but...
No, thank you. And I think it's – we're just trying to figure out exactly what these different entities are. And I think that's the question about the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators. Is that a nonprofit? Is that who we're capturing within this language?
So through the chair, yes, that's who they're capturing in the language. And there is a Ledge Research report that's part of this that sort of discusses in detail why this was necessary. And again, as I mentioned in the overall statement, that the law that was changed essentially is why they decided that the advice from Department of Law was to not authorize this from happening. And so that's why this law is required for cleanup.
Thank you.
So I'm reminded that AAA is the American Automobile Association. It would be helpful if you could let us know after the hearing who is the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators.
Sure.
And then also a follow-up on Senator Tobin's question. So there's a number of businesses, at least in Anchorage, and there may be in Fairbanks as well, that will get you driver's license, you know, car licensing and things like that. They're all private enterprises that are under contract with DMV. I've always worked on the belief they have full access to our driver's license information at those businesses.
Through the chair, that is something that I'll have to learn a little bit more, and I'm familiar with not DMV, UMVs, the UMVs,
right,
which are the privately owned companies that do have shops that work with our Division of Motor Vehicles. And we'll have to look about those details, what information they do have. I've actually never used one, but what I think is that they take that information they sort of expedite it through the process so they can get your information and just send their information from their organization to this Association of Motor Vehicles to obtain that information, and then that goes directly back to the consumer and never touches them again.
Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. As I read through the sponsor statement, it really deals only with Social Security cards. But you're also talking about a driver's license, right? You might look at that and see if you want to include more about driver's license in the Social Security, in the bill. There's two goals, right? Those two issues. And the only place it mentions driver's license is that you send it in by mail. A little concerned about sending things by the mail. what documents are required to send by mail? If you go into one of these areas, one of these places in Anchorage or wherever, what documents do you have to have?
Through the chair, Jenna Calhoun, for the record, you're approving your identity, so it'd be like your original birth certificate or your passport.
Thank you.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you.
Pretty sure I saw your hand up.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I just have a question. It might be for you or your invited testifiers, and I'm happy if you want to wait or punt to one of them to answer this. But one of the things we know happened in the last few years is that the DOGE effort ended up uploading a lot of folks' private Social Security information to an unsecure database, and that essentially created an ability for folks to engage in identity theft. And so I'm curious if within the purview of this, are there other recommendations for folks that we can put here in the public record about how to protect your data? This is one to ensure that it is securely transferred. But are there other things that people should be thinking about doing to ensure that their Social Security information or their birth certificates or their passport information are not unfortunately transmitted in a way that is unsecure or unsafe?
Through the chair, Jenna Calhoun, for the record, when the individual is uploading their information through, whenever the Social Security Administration is verifying information through the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, it's basically kind of like a true false statement. So they're saying, okay, this person is applying for a Social Security card online. Is this their identity based off of the information they received from the individual applying? At that point in time, they say yes or no, and then they purge that information from their systems once it's been verified. And so I would say that as long as the individual is ensuring that they are uploading their information to the trusted site, that would be a way to protect themselves.
Thank you.
I don't see any further questions. We're now going to go to invited testimony, and we have Dustin Brown, Chief Operating Officer, Social Security Administration. Mr. Brown, do you have prepared testimony? And I'd note if you are not on it, please don't use a speakerphone because the sound is not as clear. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Dustin Brown. I am the head of legislative affairs at the Social Security Administration in Baltimore, Maryland. I've spent my 25-year career in the federal government working to improve the services that government provides to the public, and it's a real honor and privilege to be able to meet with you in this committee, as well as visiting Juneau about a month ago and meeting with a number of representatives and senators during my opportunity to connect with you about this important issue that is facing residents in the state of Alaska. I won't repeat the comments that we've already gone through in terms of the impact to the residents of Alaska. About every 10 minutes, a resident of Alaska goes into one of the three field offices in Fairbanks, Anchorage, or Juneau to get a Social Security replacement card. And as we discussed previously, Alaska is the only state in the country that has not allowed this capability, but as Senator Kawasaki noted, had actually back in 2019 was one of the first states to do so. Our understanding is that this Senate Bill 237 and its companion legislation HB 213 would give Alaska's DMV the authority needed to resume participation in the driver's license data verification system that's operated by AMBA, as we discussed previously. I want to also just reinforce the points that were made earlier, that the process is initiated by a individual who logs into their MySSA account and requests a replacement card. SSA is not in a position to initiate it. It's initiated by an individual. That individual then verifies, SSA verifies the data from the driver's license or state identification to confirm it matches the data held by the jurisdiction using that intermediary, AMBA. If verified, a replacement card could be issued in 7 to 10 days. It's worth noting that the checks are initiated by individuals requesting a replacement, not SSA. The data is not sent to SSA, but SSA receives a simple true-false response based on the results of the verification. AMBA also does not store any data and deletes any information after the verification. Their online service has undergone comprehensive cybersecurity testing and is accessible only through the secure My Social Security portal. Obviously, doing this check virtually would save your residents significant time and resources and would free up SSA's workforce and the offices to focus on more complex retirement or disability cases. We also understand there's no cost to implementation, and this could be operational in a matter of weeks after enactment. So I really want to thank this committee for taking this issue on, and we look forward to continuing to partner with you on any questions you might have to facilitate this legislation.
Thank you. Senator Stevens has a question.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I have been asked often for my Social Security number, and every time you do your taxes and all times you, a lot of times you ask your number, but nobody's ever asked to see my card. Why do we need a card? And I'm asking that of a Social Security man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why do we need a physical card? Once you know your number, why would you need a physical card?
To the chair, I'm happy to respond to that.
Yes, we're asking you to respond. Thank you.
Yeah. To the chair, to address the senator's question, it is not something that Social Security requires, but oftentimes, maybe for tax preparation or for enrollment in children's school, it is a form of identification that is required by a wide variety of different entities. And that's often what prompts the need for individuals to need a card. That is not the policy of Social Security Administration, but others who list it as a form of identification.
I have another question for Mr. Brown. What is the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators?
Through the chair, in response to the senator's question, the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators is a tax-exempt nonprofit organization developing model programs in NBA, law enforcement, highway safety. The association also serves as an information clearinghouse in these areas and acts as a spokesperson for these interests. It was founded in 1933. It is a nonprofit and represents state, provincial, and territorial offices in the U.S. and Canada who administer and enforce motor vehicle laws.
So by way of example, our Alaska's Department of Motor Vehicles may be a member of the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, through the chair, in response, it would be.
And is it, can we fairly assume that every the DMV in all 50 states is a member?
Through the chair, in response to the question, yes, that is correct.
Okay. I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. And with no other invited testimony, we're going to open public testimony for Senate Bill 237. If you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone. The sound is not as clear, but I'll first ask, is there anyone in the room who would like to provide public testimony on Senate Bill 237? Seeing no one, I'm looking on the list. We have no one online, so I'm going to close public testimony on Senate Bill 237. Any questions from the committee before we close the work on this bill for the day? Hearing and seeing. Oh, Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Got to be quick.
I don't know if this is part of the purview of this legislation, but if there is a way to bring back the 574, I'd be very happy to work with your office so that every Alaskan can join me in having the first three digits of their Social Security number being 574.
You may want to send that to Ledge Legal.
For the record, Senator Tobin, I'm a 574. And Mr. Chairman, I also just wanted to add that one of the reasons for Senator Stevens, one of the reasons why a Social Security card has been needed actually more often than not recently has been because of the Real ID implementation, which just took place officially. Our state was one of the last states to affirm that we would become Real ID compliant. So having either a birth certificate or a combination of different types of identifications is really important, and that's one of them that can be used on that list.
And Senator Stevens, it's a sign of your age and experience that you haven't had to fill in an I-9 form when you started a new job. Social Security.
I lost my number, my card 50 years ago, and no one's asked for it. So.
All right. Seeing nothing else, we're going to put aside Senate Bill 237 for further review. The last item on our agenda is Senate Bill 233, Controlled Substance Advisory Committee, sponsored by my office. This is the first hearing of the bill in our committee. Here to present the bill is my staff, Carly Dennis. Ms. Dennis, if you would please come forward, put yourself on the record. You may begin your presentation.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, this is Carly Dennis, staff to Senator Klayman. Senate Bill 233 places the Controlled Substance Advisory Committee, or the CSAC, under the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. The CSAC is charged with advising the governor of when to add, delete, or reschedule substances under Alaska law. They also evaluate the effectiveness of current programs, budget and appropriations, enforcement policies and procedures, treatment counseling, and regulations regarding controlled substances. The committee is currently administered by the Department of Law, which is unable to prioritize it. The Department of Law sits on numerous boards and committees, but the CSAC is the only committee that the Criminal Division manages, and managing the committee is outside of their purview. This fall, a constituent contacted our office urging us to schedule kratom as a controlled substance. Kratom is currently not listed as a controlled substance in Alaska, though the Drug Enforcement Administration has listed it as a chemical of concern. Working with that constituent, we learned that the CSAC had not been meeting regularly, and we requested that the Department of Law convene the committee to consider scheduling kratom. In December, the committee met and recommended that the active ingredients in kratom be scheduled as a Class 2A controlled substance. This committee offers an important public safety service, and it should be assigned to a department that is fully equipped to effectively staff it. And with that, I'm happy to try and answer any questions or refer them to the Department of Law or DCCED.
I see no questions. I would note that actually we have invited testimony. Well, actually, he's not here for invited testimony, but Rob Henderson from the Department of Law and Hannah Lager from the Department of Community and Commerce, Community Economic Development are available for questions. And I don't see any questions from any of them. With that, I'm going to open public testimony on Senate Bill 233. Is there anyone in the room who would like to provide public testimony? Hearing and seeing no one, I'll look online. And there was no one online because I know Mr. Henderson is not here to provide public testimony. So with that, I'm going to close public testimony on Senate Bill 233. Any questions from the committee? Senator Stevens?
Is there someone with us from DCCED?
Yes.
I'd just like to get your response to, do you want this job?
Ms. Lager, please put yourself on the record.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Hannah Lager. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, we do have a number of boards in the department. I don't know that we want this job. I don't know that we don't want this job. We do a fair amount of that. I will say this doesn't align with any of our divisions that we currently have. Most of our boards are in the professional licensing section, or our commissioner's office serves on many boards for corporations. So we have planned to house it out of the commissioner's office, which doesn't manage any other committees like this currently, but we do have a fair amount of experience in that area. So I understand why we were proposed.
So no objection to this being transferred to your responsibility?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I don't, we don't have a position either way on this one. I don't believe it.
Thank you.
Senator Stevens, you may want to hear from Rob Henderson with the Department of Law. I think one of the comments that I heard is in the fall when we were working on getting the committee to meet was, you know, we're good at scheduling trials and getting trials put together. We're not so good in the criminal division at scheduling committee hearings because they have no other, there's no other place in which they serve the role of managing a committee. But Mr. Henderson, I think, is available if you'd like him to.
Yes, I'd like him to respond why he wants to get rid of this responsibility.
Mr. Henderson.
Yes, thank you, Chair Clinton. For the record, Robert Henderson, Department of Law, Criminal Division Director. Through the Chair, Senator Stevens, that is correct. The primary mission of the Criminal Division is the prosecution of criminal offenses in Alaska. And although we sit on the Controlled Substance Advisory Committee, it is not within our primary mission to administer the board. And what we've seen with the chair being the Board of Pharmacy and the committee itself being housed within the Department of Law, there tends to be miscommunication and just a not a high priority set on getting the committee to meet.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't see any other questions. So we are going to set Senate Bill 233 aside for further review. And that will complete our work for the day. If you are considering an amendment to either of the bills we heard today, Senate Bill 237, Data Sharing Social Security, or Senate Bill 233, Controlled Substance Advisory Committee, please let our office know and submit those electronically by Wednesday, March 18th, which is next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Our next meeting will be Monday, March 16th at 1:30 p.m., and with that, we stand adjourned. The time is now 2:17 p.m.